What is happening?
Okay, everybody ready?
Yes.
Yes, really quick, if you want to hear the clap across, we have to all clap at the same time.
Oh my God, really?
Oh, okay.
To sync up the sound.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. So one, ready? One, two, three.
That was bad.
And we should feel bad.
That was so bad. Let's do, I'll go one, two, three, go. On go, everyone clap.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. One, two, three, go. Oh, wait, fuck.
Why doesn't it just go one, two, three, clap?
I'm so glad I'm recording this because I think I'm going to put it as a cold open. Don't have fun.
It's so ridiculous.
Okay, let's do it again. Clap together, white girl. Come on.
All right. One, two, three.
Shit.
Oh, it's too soon. I'm a premature clapper.
H-A-R-R-I-S. So when I close my eyes and count to ten, did you know I'm your biggest fan?
I think that's good. Hello, and welcome to the forecast. I'm Lauren Milberger.
And I'm Rachel Leishman.
And it's taken us hours, but we're finally here, hopefully, recording.
I forgot my last name for a minute.
That's how long we've been working on this. We've all forgot our last names.
Uh-huh. Last names are real hard. My last name's not normal, so yeah, it's a hard life I lead.
I'm thinking of changing it to Flockhart, maybe, you know, that'll make
Lauren
it a little
Lockhart?
Better.
Or Rachel. Yeah, you know. Who are we talking about?
I don't know. But okay. Welcome to the forecast special episode. Hopefully we're recording. We're not quite sure. But hey, let's wing it. Well, we have a very special guest. So panelists, why don't you start introducing yourselves, starting with Cheryl.
God damn it. I didn't want to talk first. Hi, I'm Cheryl Wassenaar. I work with Rachel on Slack. So this is the first time I've heard her voice and it's weird.
Talk about yourself, Cheryl.
I described my experience. I am an assistant editor on Culturist. I'm a co-expert on Surviving Tribal, and I'm a contributor on fansided.com.
All right, and then next we have Jessie.
Hello, I'm Jessie Mullins. I'm an actor, writer, producer, and hobbit living in New York City. I am involved in theater in New York, and I am actively pursuing the feminist agenda within superheroes with an online sitcom that's a female buddy comedy with lines called Just Super.
Is that your new tagline? Because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's in our signature. It's super legit.
I feel like there'll be a crossover episode one day with you guys. And what's the movie? What's the TV show with Alan Tudyk?
Oh, The Con Man?
No, Powerless.
No, the new
the superhero one where it's like he's Bruce Wayne's cousin.
I would like all of these things. Alan, thank you so much for inquiring. You are welcome to cross over with us. Call me.
I am Alan Tudyk's agent. Surprise.
Obviously.
Surprise. And then we have Crystal Beth.
Hello, I'm Crystal Beth, and I do lots of podcasts. I have a video game podcast that is called Unlimited Lives Radio, and I also do a podcast about the Fifth Element, which is called The Fifth Element, and each episode is about 1 minute of the movie, and it's a lot of fun, so we get to go really deep into the meat of the movie, and I've also been a guest. There's a phenomenon now of movies by minutes where you follow the same structure, and it started with Star Wars Minute, and there's a bunch of other ones, but I've been a guest on almost all of them, which is very exciting. And I also do comedy and act, and I write things that I don't show anyone yet. That's it. That's what I do. Yeah. I too have a Women in Superheroes pilot in process.
Let's all, guys, this is no longer a panel. This is all of us pitching our Women as Superhero pilots.
Yes, mine are women over 50.
So it's like I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I could not think of one woman over the age of 50. Oh
boy. And exactly. That's the problem.
I'm losing it.
Helen Mirren. Gina Davis.
I was going to say, yeah.
Judy Dench.
Oh, Judy.
Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith. They're all British.
Yep. Americans don't live.
Yes, because in the UK, you can actually age.
Betty White.
Oh my God, Betty White is a superhero would be amazing.
It's true.
Betty White is the enigma.
Didn't Carol Channing turn like 96 today?
Probably.
We got one.
Carol Channing's alive?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
2016 didn't take her too.
Listen, 2016 was a rough one.
Yes.
2017 has only been a month long and it's not looking any easier.
So I thought, since it's actually very timely right now that Peter Capaldi is going to be leaving soon, I thought we would start with Doctor Who.
Yes.
So does everyone want to kind of go around, maybe mention who their first Doctor was, how they got into it?
Or if you would rather talk about your favorite Doctor, you can also do that.
That's good, too. Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, Rachel, because I always assume your first Doctor is your favorite. But you know what? That's maybe not a good assumption.
Nope. No.
Jesse, you want to start?
Yeah. I grew up watching Classic Who on VHS tapes with my dad. And then was very excited when I was of my own adult age and it had come back. And I think based on the fact that I'm from where I'm sitting right now, I can see a bobblehead of Tom Baker and a arm warmers that look like his scarf. I have to go with Baker. Also, because I want to cosplay him later.
Crystal?
That's a good one. So my first Doctor was the Ninth Doctor. And I started watching then, right when the new series, when they revamped it and put it out again. And I've not watched any of the older ones. And because there are so many, and it's daunting to think that I need to, it's too intimidating. But my favorite Doctor is the 10th Doctor. David Tennant is my heart. He was when I was, because the 9th Doctor was great, but I thought he was he was a little mean. And the 10th Doctor had that just emotion to him. And he was kind of snobby and sassy too. But when he would yell out, "Allons-y," oh, I was like, I will go with you. I will be your companion. He was definitely hands down my favorite, and I've done cosplay as Femme 11 and the Femme 8th Doctor.
Oh, it's my turn, isn't it? So my first Doctor was 10. My sister sent me my hand to God. She sent me Blink first.
Oh, good girl.
Good.
Yeah, that was my first episode good too. Sister. Someone was smart enough to show me that first and kind of eat me in.
Yeah. So Blink was my first episode. I've watched all of Nine's run. I've watched bits and pieces of Tom Baker. And then when Matt Smith showed up, I got angry and kind of quit after Vincent and the Doctor, but I know vaguely enough to fake knowledge.
You know what? That's
Cheryl.
That's interesting to me because I too, after Matt Smith, I haven't kept up with Doctor Who after that. I thought the writing got real crazy.
Yeah, it's because Stephen Moffat knows how to write like good, like solitary episodes. But if you give the man an arc, he'll just kind of twist it until it's wibbly wobbly in all the wrong ways.
Yes, exactly. And also, the women started to fail me a little. And I was bummed.
Yes.
I was real bummed.
Yeah.
I feel like he had some really great ideas, and I'm still always a big Moffat fan, but I think that he didn't realize that he was be spreading them out so far.
Yeah.
And so it was almost like they went off into a bridge and the bridge hadn't been finished yet and then fell into a ravine.
It made me think about, he's somebody who writes a really good shorter run,
right.
Like I love Sherlock, or a singular episode that really packs a punch, but the overall long-term season show run, yeah, like you said, it gets a little wibbly-wobbly in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
I think also it must be so daunting to be writing these two huge, big shows. I mean, I'm an Aaron Sorkin fan, and if you watch the second season of Sports Night and the first season of West Wing, like, they sort of meld over each other. All of a sudden, there's politics on Sports Night. doesn't really seem to make any sense because he was so preoccupied with writing The West Wing. So, I mean, it must be just, it may be too much for someone. I mean,
I can barely write a scene a month for my theater company. I don't know how they're doing that.
Right, that's too much. Like I said, I have like a pilot going that I don't even let people look at, never mind make something into something millions of people are going to watch and two at the same time. It's crazy.
Well, my favorite's Matt Smith. After everyone is shitting on Moffat.
Listen, I love Moffat. I'm always the one who stands up for him, and usually I'm the only one left.
Well, actually, I like Moffat, but I got real pissed at him because I went to the, like, when the 12th Doctor premiere, they had that thing in New York.
Yeah, Lauren, you and I were there.
Yeah, we were there.
And, like, you could go and watch the premiere, and Jenna Coleman and Peter Capaldi were there. Well, I got really mad because I had gotten my Doctor Who tattoo probably, like, a year before that. Or, no. Yeah, it was a year before that because I got it a month after Matt Smith left the show. And my tattoo says Geronimo with a blue bow tie. And so someone said, well, all the Doctors have a catchphrase. Like, there's Fantastic Alon Z, Geronimo. Like, what is... Or they didn't say Geronimo. They said there's Fantastic and Alon Z, so what's the 12th Doctor's? And I was, like, four away from getting to ask a question, but I didn't get to ask. And Moffat goes, well, 11 didn't have a catchphrase. Meanwhile, I'm standing, like, four back going, really? He didn't have one? Like, as it's tattooed on my body. And I was, like, standing by my bed, like, you asshole! Yes, he did! Like, I was just so mad at him. But I mean, like, I got over it, but I still am pissed.
I mean, Rachel, I will always stand up for Matt Smith. I love him. I think he's really great.
See, Matt was really my first Doctor, in a way. Even though I saw Blink first, like, I came through Sherlock. So my roommate at the time was like, oh, well, if you like Sherlock, you like Doctor Who. And so showed me some of Moffat's standalone episodes. But I really feel like, because when I fully started watching it, like, you know, back to back and becoming obsessed with it, it was all about Matt Smith. So to me, he's like my favorite Doctor, and also I feel like my first Doctor, even though I technically, the first one I saw was Blink, which would be Tennant.
See, he's the reason I studied theater.
Aww. Because
I wanted to be an actor so I could be a companion to him.
Aww.
And he went and left. It's great. I'm just losing all my dreams.
Aw, don't say that. There's still dreams left.
Yeah, and I don't want it to seem like I don't like Matt Smith as a Doctor. There's not a Doctor I don't like.
Agreed.
Well, I think that's one thing that's really great about the show is that everyone is so distinct and so different that you can enjoy them equally in a way. You can still, you know, enjoy the show. I think it was such a smart thing whenever, you know, or any reason they decided to come up with this idea was it's daunting for an actor to replace another actor as it is. There's no way that they're going to be able to match up to something so
actually
big. So if you,
do you know why they came up with Regeneration?
I think I do, but go ahead.
Because William Hartnell needed to leave for health reasons.
Because he had cancer, right?
Yeah, and they wanted to keep it going because it was doing so well, so they created Regeneration.
And Hartnell didn't want to leave. There's like, if you haven't seen it, they did a really cool, it's not a documentary, but it kind of is. It's like they did a movie based on the whole story of like how Doctor Who began.
Oh,
like,
it's so good.
And
yeah,
like how William Hartnell like didn't want to do the show, did the show, didn't want to leave the show. And they were like, you need to leave. You're sick. Like, but the show started to do well. And so that's when Patrick, what's his last name? Troutman? Was he second?
Yeah. It's one of those names that I've only seen in print, but I think
same
it's
here.
Patrick
Troutman. Oh, it's
O-U-H-B-H Troutman. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Yeah. I was right. I'm not insane. And so, but the movie has one of the best endings ever, and it still makes me really sad. Because Hartnell goes into the TARDIS at, like, the very end, and then the 11th Doctor comes in, because it was still when Matt Smith was on, so it, like, shows William Hartnell how the show carries on. It's weird, but it also tells the story really well.
You know, but it's such a beautiful moment and there's no words. And I mean, Matt Smith is such a wonderful actor and just on his face, the way he looks at him, it was a shocking moment and it didn't feel in place, but it was beautiful. I loved it.
I think that was the thing that always made me sad for Matt Smith. I feel like he didn't get the breadth of material to do what he can do. I think I always felt that watching, and that was probably the thing that disappointed me. Wasn't that I felt like it was necessarily bad, but I could sense more, and I wanted more.
Well, because he's a great actor, and I think because he was so young, everyone was like, oh, this is the way he's going to be. And, like, you can see it, especially, like, in the scene where, what is the name of that episode? I can't remember. But it's with Clara, and it's when they're going to, I can't remember any of the words right now. Trenzalore. It's when they're basically saying that he has to go to Trenzalore, and he's sitting on the couch, and he tells her, like, tell me exactly what they said, and he's, like, sobbing on the couch. And, like, but you don't know, like, you, all of a sudden the camera turns around, like, holy crap, like, he's just, like, sitting there crying. And it's, like, that, like, moments like that are, like, littered throughout this show, and it sucks, because it's like, oh, come on, he could have done so much more if you gave him the time of day.
Also, I felt much older than him when he came in. It was the first time that the doctor was younger than me. So it was harder for me to connect that way, but I was also getting really sick by that point of the companion being kind of the girlfriend role. And so that was part for me that I was like, oh, let's get some, like, a woman who's older than him.
That would have been interesting.
Or something. So I had trouble connecting with Clara, I think, too.
Oh, man. Donna Noble. He was the best.
Donna is one of the best companions. But she also she would have been older than Matt Smith, but she was more of a, like, a mate, like a contemporary of,
they were buddies.
I prefer that. I prefer when his companion is his buddy, not his girlfriend.
I shipped.
Yeah. Oh, I loved the question about are you two together, and they're always like, ew.
Yes.
I am the oddball out of this conversation.
No, you aren't, Rachel.
What do we think about this? You know, there are obviously a lot of expectations for who the new doctor might be, considering that a lot of those expectations were vaulted, is that maybe the right word, with another white guy, as much as I love Peter Capaldi. What is everyone's thoughts on who they think the next doctor should be?
Does anyone think it should be a woman?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. I just did a 13-page slider on who I think it should be.
I think
be
it
today,
needs to be a woman, a person of color, someone of Asian descent, something different.
It could be Riz Ahmed, and I'd be oh so happy.
I would love to see it as a woman, and I would love the woman to not have to have a male companion and just kind of keep going on with female companions and have, like, a really good woman buddy go and kick some serious butt TV show.
A buddy space flick.
A buddy space flick that's not about, you know, love and romance. I would love to see that.
Yes.
Yes, I would be down for that.
I'd love to see diversity. I would love to see, I mean, and if they don't go ethnic diversity, then we could just have a ginger woman and get all those boxes checked.
That's true.
Let's get a ginger.
To be ginger.
That would be the greatest regeneration scene.
Right? Oh my gosh, can you imagine when he realized he has boobs for the first time?
Amazing.
And he's a she.
Well, it is a kid show over there.
But their kid shows will
I haven't
go
been
there.
Able to watch the last two seasons, so I have only experienced a little bit of the newest Doctor, and I'm very curious, but again, it comes down to I just do not have the time, and it stinks. I can't watch TV at all anymore, there's too much.
There's too much. We can talk about that. There's literally, I never thought I would, I'm a huge television person, and I never thought that I would live in a time where I would go, I don't watch everything. It's just, it's too much, and it's too overwhelming. Like, you.
And it's
Yeah, that's
good.
The thing. It's all super good. I miss the boat on so many things, and that's very unlike me, because it's just, it's impossible.
I will lose sleep to make sure that I have watched the show that, you know, for example, like the Game of Thrones, I will make sure that I have watched that before I go into work on Monday, and I will lose sleep for it because of binge spoiler culture.
And that's a whole thing.
It's intense.
Spoiler culture
I have to make a priority to shows that I have to watch first because I don't want to be spoiled, that I have to watch it because as much as I maybe try to stay away from social media, sometimes things just happen. This was the worst. I once had a friend send me a private message on Facebook. She knows who she is.
Oh,
saying,
no.
Did you see this? So I just clicked it. And it was a spoiler.
No!
Oh, no!
It was, now, I guess in her defense, she didn't realize it was a spoiler, but it was about an actor leaving a show.
Oh, no.
That I watched. And it was his Twitter saying goodbye. Now, I'm smart enough to know when that in television, you don't know the end until it's done. So you can't say that you're gone for good. So if he's saying he's gone for good, that means he's dead.
Right?
She,
what show is this?
Is The Good Wife.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That
and
was a big
it kills
one.
Me because I read so much about, you know, entertainment and part of it is my job that for me to be surprised, that takes a lot. So I felt.
Exactly. For you to not know that person, their contact.
Exactly.
Didn't
yeah.
Get,
or read about, you know, promotion yeah. interview of, oh, I'm going to be a guest star in this show. So if something surprises me, there's so small amount of those crumbs that I can get. And it felt like it had been snatched from me.
Did you kill her?
I didn't actually kill her because she doesn't live in the United States. That was the problem.
Oh, she's lucky.
She was watching it overnight while I was sleeping. Woke up in the morning to probably watch it that day because I don't watch anything live. And she sent it to me. I sent her. It was bad. I said, I am not going to not be friends with you anymore because you're my friend and that would be wrong. But gonna have to take a little break.
That's the revolutionary.
I'm gonna just be really angry for a little bit of time.
I will always love you. I don't have to like you right now.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like,
I just can't look at you right
there
now.
You go.
What are people's views on spoilers with that? Like, how long do you wait to say something, or how long? How many days after do you think before you are like, oh, okay, well, if I haven't seen it by like 2 days later, I can't get mad at spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing is it depends what it is. If it's something that has a book that goes along with it, I don't mind people spoiling me because it's my fault because I haven't read it.
Right.
And I was a big supporter of that during the Harry Potter movies. Like one time I said something about Dobby and someone got mad at me and I was like, that book has been out for 4 years. Like
so there's 4 years enough. I mean, but then again, you're going to.
No, but like. But it, they
oh,
meant
I
like for the
saying.
Movie because the movie had come out. But the movie had just come out. But I said it like everyone knew. And she was like, well, I didn't see the movie yet. And I was like, okay, well, it's a book and it's been out. And so, like, when I never read the Game of Thrones books, so people, like, I would say, oh, Robb Stark's my favorite, and they would be like, oh, and I'm like, you can tell me what happens. It's my fault. I didn't read the books, like, whatever. And so they'd be like, oh, well, he dies. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like I deserve that because I didn't read it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's also a difference between, like, for example, I don't know if anyone got ruined for things in Orange is the New Black. But there was a big thing that happens
I got
at the end of the season.
I shouldn't have gone on Tumblr. That was my mistake. I own that.
I mean, fair. But there's a difference between a single episode that's being aired and, like, online content that comes out of one season.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's a single episode, I usually assume about a week and then I'm not safe.
Wait, what happened at the end of Orange?
I don't think we should
black.
Say.
I can't remember.
Somebody died.
Who died? It's been out for a year.
Well, at this point, you could be like, the person died. We're going to say a spoiler. Cover your ears. Who was it?
What? I don't remember this.
Yeah, there
it's
you go.
It's Poussey. I remember.
It's pretty horrific. Yeah, it's like.
Oh. Spoilers. No, I'm just kidding.
It's been out since
June. The only thing I like now about spoilers is that I can use a River Song gif. That's pretty much my only love.
I love it. Spoilers. Just so sweet.
God, I love it so much. My thing is that I used to be, like, I'm sort of a recovering spoiler addict. Like, I needed a 12-step program because it was getting really bad.
What did you do?
Like, you liked spoiling
no,
things
no, that
for
I
people?
Hate for myself.
Oh.
That's the point where, when I was in school, I guess I can say this now because it's past. Before I was, you know, a professional actor, I was paying for sides for the West Wing on Sides
oh,
Express.
Yeah.
so that my friends and I could find out what was happening after Sorkin left. And that's when I knew I had a problem.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm very, like, I try to stay away from them as much as I can. I accidentally read something for The Force Awakens, which pissed me off, but that was my mistake. I didn't know what I was reading. But I really, really try to stay away from it now because I know how I got. And I it's like alcohol to me now, and it's bad. Like, I've fallen off the wagon, and it's bad.
My brother does that. Like, with The Force Awakens, I got a phone call from my dad because I had gone, and my brother was, like, waiting, and because he's in his 30s now, so he pretends like he doesn't want to go and see these dorky things. But now he has a girlfriend who likes them, so he'll go to midnight premieres again. But, like, for a while before he had his girlfriend, he, like, was like, oh, I don't care if I see Star Wars in movie theater, whatever. But then he was reading something online about it, and he was sitting beside my dad, and he just goes, oh, my God, no. No. And he started, like, getting really upset. And my dad goes, what's wrong? Thinking something happened. And my brother goes, Han dies. Like, my dad calls me and goes, Rachel, did Han Solo die? And I was like, aww. Yeah, why? And he goes, because your brother just accidentally read it. Now he's getting real upset on the couch. Like, but it was funny because it was like, it came back to kind of bite him in the ass because he was acting like he was better because I would still go like the day of or the next day to see a movie that I liked. And he'd be like, I don't do that anymore. And then now that he has his girlfriend, they went and saw Star Trek like at midnight. They go, and I'm like, yeah, screw you. Like, he saw Rogue One the day it came out. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm over Star Wars. Yeah.
I was like, these are all things I still do.
Oh yeah. He's like,
I was like, I'm just more insane now.
Thank God for his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
like,
he's a winner. Keep her.
That's, well, he is now that he has her, because he finally, after however many years it's been, listened to the Harry Potter audiobooks for the first time.
Oh, Jim Dale.
But I was like, oh, okay, fuck you. Like, you waited until you had a girlfriend who told you to read Harry Potter, but your little sister's been doing it since she was 11.
What a jerk.
I know, right? I hate when people pretend not to like stuff.
And not, like, pretend.
Exactly.
This is like a good segue into Star Trek, because I feel like we have a bunch of people on the panel who are very into Trek. Rachel. Jesse has a character named after her in a Star Trek book.
Mm-hmm. I'm canon.
Oh my God. Does Chris Pine know about it?
I mean, I've told him, but I don't think he's listening to my random messages.
That's his loss.
Well, if you have that number, hook me up.
Right?
Let him know I'm single.
I'm also really about, I need Chris Pine to do a Frank Sinatra biopic real bad.
Yes. Oh, no.
I didn't know I wanted that, but I want it now.
I want it now, too.
You just need to go YouTube okay. Him singing Fly Me to the Moon on a talk show, and those baby
I
blues,
can't,
and I was done.
Though.
So you have a character named after you?
Yes. My friend David Mack writes Star Trek novels. And they're the canonical pieces. And he wrote one that was a Section 31 book, I believe. Sweet. It was using the mirror universe in DS9.
That's awesome.
with Julian Bashir, my true love, Alexander Siddig.
Yes, I love Julian.
I shunned him in high school.
And I'm an operator in the mirror universe. And if you want to see it, it's the banner photo on my Twitter because I'll never change it now.
A doe-eyed young woman named Jessie Mullins. Her long dark hair is gathered into a utilitarian bun. Something on her head. Your picture blocked it.
You have such a space name too. Like, you don't have to change anything.
I know, I'm the worst. I'll send it to all of you.
Oh my God. No,
he gave it to me at Comic-Con and I cried.
That's awesome.
I think that's a perfectly appropriate response is to cry.
Just a cry. And I was dressed as Death from Sandman, so I felt super legit in that moment.
I'm just looking at pictures of Julian Bashir right now. Because I forgot I loved him.
I think we should all take a moment and just do that. I'm fine with that.
Yes.
Well, because I had to watch Deep Space Nine. Because my brother and I, when I was in high school, he moved back home and we did this thing where it's like, We took turns sharing something with the other one. So, like, back then I was super into Lost, and so I was like, no, like, come here, we'll watch Lost. And so we marathoned all of Lost until, like, the current episode. And so then when that was ended, he's like, okay, it's my turn. I picked a show that had, at that point, 4 seasons. He picked Deep Space Nine.
I love DS9.
Which has, like, 10. And I was like, what the hell? And he would, like, make me, as soon as I got home from school, he would sit down and watch it. And I'm like, I have homework. Like, I have things I need to do. But, like, to this day, like, things happen. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was an episode of Deep Space Nine. And, like, I don't really remember it because it was in high school. But it's still, like, so funny. Because, like, people will say, like, you said Julia Bashir. I was like, I know exactly who you're talking about. I know, I know the
mirror universe. And it's so funny, too, when you said that because I wasn't really hugely into Deep Space Nine. I remember it. And I think that once Worf came on, I may have, like, just stopped watching. But I was more into, like, Voyager. I know, yeah, apparently.
It's good.
But I had a crush on him, and I don't remember as much as I remember Next Generation and Voyager. Like, I was really into them for some reason.
Guys, so I went really far down the rabbit hole a couple years ago, and it was always this thing I meant to chronicle, and I think I just kept it in my own special mind. But he's so sexy.
I'm looking at him now, and he's with a beard, like a sweater.
Did you just say beard?
Yeah, well, he's a Martell in Game of Thrones, and I love him.
Who? Alexander Siddig?
Yeah. I went back and I'd watched all the different shows and thought I knew my opinions about each one. And then I went through and I rewatched all of Star Trek in production order.
Oh, God.
Because I was single.
And, can I also just say that?
That's awesome.
And I found that. Oh, no, I found I loved DS9 way more than I thought I did.
No, I was going to add that when I Google his name, the second thing that comes up is Julian Bashir fan fiction.
Oh, send that to me.
Good.
It's the second Google search for him.
I'm sitting here with Cassie and Andor fan fiction put up on my computer, so I can't really talk. No, but like, oh, I love. Yeah. Okay. Me and Star Trek have this weird relationship. Because you know how, like, when your older brother tells you to do something, you're like, no, I don't want to.
Yes. Yes, that makes perfect
sense.
I'm
the oldest, so I don't know.
I have 2 older sisters, and I hero worship them, but I imagine that I don't like being told I'm supposed to like something.
Well, okay, well, my older brother is, like, his hero is William Shatner. So we're like, he's the one who made me like all my dorky shit, but he... Like, his love of Star Trek is another level. Like, he has a tree at Christmas that's all Star Trek ornaments. Like, when Leonard Nimoy died, we had to call him and be like, are you okay? Like, it's other level. And so I never wanted to watch it just because I know how happy it made him. So I was like, I'm not watching it. And then, like, the biggest knife in his back was, like, after Deep Space Nine, like, I was like, okay, I actually really kind of like Star Trek. It's cool. But, shortly after that is when Star Trek came out, like with Chris Pine. And the knife in his back was me sitting there going, oh, I actually like Kirk now. Oh, no. He's really hot. And my brother was so upset because I don't like William Shatner. And he was just like, what? And I was like, oh, Chris Pine's hot. Kirk's awesome. And he's like, yeah, no, but Kirk is like, William Shatner, Kirk is great. I'm like, no, this guy's better. Like, he was pissed.
I will say that William Shatner Kirk in the original series versus the movies is different.
Yeah. I think I had only seen the movies.
Because in the series, he actually, you see the guy that did Shakespeare. Like, he was discovered as a legit Shakespearean actor and doing all this. Like, and he is actually quite sexy. I don't get it, but it works.
It's true. William Shatner in the original series, he should not work. It shouldn't.
Nope.
But then he gets really serious when he talks about how this, you know, this alien space babe is actually a person and you need to respect her as a person. And you're like, damn it, you got me.
And he's like staring at this dancing Rubik's Cube of death outside the spaceship. And you believe that he wants to save his people.
Yeah.
See, it's funny for me because for me, Kirk is the movies. Like, I remember watching, is it The Voyage Home when they go to San Francisco and they time travel? The whales, yeah.
That's The Whales.
I watch that all the time. And he's a lot more subdued in that. And, you know, he's older Kirk. And he's, you know, he remembers his lines now. He doesn't have to do the pauses as much. So it's like there's sort of a bit of a sort of, you know, calm, sedate Kirk is the one that, like, I'm familiar with.
Well, I mean, that'll be the next movie. Mm-hmm. Because if you follow the movies, they're doing the exact movie order. And just, or like,
I love that.
Basically. Because Wrath of Khan was Into Darkness. And then Beyond is Search for Spock.
Beyond is actually kind of the in-between time. It's a time between the series and the movies when he chose to take a desk job.
Well, yeah, but it all, like, because I said this to my brother and he got mad because I was right. But it, like, I was like, if you look at, like, the whole setup and how it is, where it's, like, a planet that basically, like, brings, that black thing is, like, the opposite of what Genesis was.
Absolutely.
And, like, there's, like, elements of it that are very clearly, like, the Search for Spock.
Oh, totally.
And my brother got mad because he had seen it. And, like, I think in his brain he wants to pretend they're completely different. So I was like, oh, no, it's, like, Search for Spock. He goes, no, it's a different movie. I was like, well, yeah, it is. But there's elements of it. And I explained. I was like, the black matter is Genesis. But, like, in reverse. And he was like, oh, I hate that. I hate it. Because but he was pissed.
But it's so true.
Right.
Huh. This is all fascinating to me because I have not watched any of the Star Trek TV shows. I just watched my first old Star Trek movie, The Wrath of Khan, 6 months ago. But I've seen all the new ones because I've been I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And I could never get into Star Trek because I was comparing it to Star Wars, and they are two totally different things.
Absolutely.
The only thing that's the same is spaceship. That's it.
And diversity.
Well, Star Wars is getting better.
Star Wars.
Thank God.
Star Wars 2.0 has diversity down packed. Original Star Wars is
white people. Oh, yeah. It's white people and then just aliens that are slaves.
And Lando.
Yeah, but with Lando, you kind of get the impression that it was like, oh, they got a little flack, and you know, oh, the sequel, we gotta bring one ethnic guy in. Billy D. Williams. He was like a huge star at the time. Like he was like
Billy D. Williams.
I'm enjoying hearing all of these all of the opinions on all this, and it's interesting because even though I'm new to it, I can totally feel and see what you guys are talking about with all the characters and the way the movies equal out to each other. Mm-hmm. It's cool. It's really cool.
I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do because with the original movies, it's always about the even numbered movies. Those are the good ones. The odd numbered movies are the bad ones that we don't want to talk about.
Is Voyage Home an odd number?
No, Voyage Home is more into Star Wars too. It's an even.
No.
Yep. It's so beloved.
That was my... the whales.
Oh, the whales.
No, I was saying, what were you saying about Star Wars? Too, but like, I watched Generation a lot when I was a kid, but like, it didn't have the same sort of connection to me that Star Wars always did. Like, when I went and I saw the new one with Chris Pine, I got the red shirt references and some of the things, and I enjoyed it. But seeing Star Wars, I got all the references, and I remembered all the parts of it, and it had a different experience, a different impression on me. I was much more emotional, whereas I saw the first Chris Pine movie with a friend of mine who is obsessed with Star Trek. And for her, she had the experience that I had watching The Force Awakens. So I'm saying that I'm more vulnerable, Crystal.
I never had them as... I never understood the teams. I always watched both equally. I think I probably started with Star Wars as a kid, but again, my dad was, you know, the nerd of his time, so I watched original Star Trek with him. And I guess I didn't realize until I got older, same thing with like cat people and dog people, I didn't actually realize that most people picked a side until I was older, and then
that's
I felt really confused.
That's really wonderful.
It's a very confusing thing. Because, like, I'm, like, kind of the same way. Like, my brother is, like I said, he has a Star Trek Christmas tree. But, like, people who listen to this podcast know, like, my brother was the reason I ever saw Star Wars. Because I said I liked Harrison Ford. And he was like, you don't like Harrison Ford until you watch Star Wars. And, like, made me watch all of them.
Good brother.
But, like, it's weird because it's the same thing with, like, music, too. Because, like, as a kid, I remember people were like, well, you can't like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. You have to pick one. And I was like, my dad was like big into both. And like, just like my brother, he's big into both Star Wars and Star Trek. And same with DC and Marvel. I'm like, I don't get it. Why can't you just like the dorky shit you like? You're already weird enough. Like, just like it. And like,
exactly.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think just you like should be forced to pick it all. I think sometimes you feel more connected to one thing than the other, but you should be able to like everything in your own way and equally. I don't get the picking sides either.
I don't understand that either. It's kind of maddening. It's like, you shouldn't have to be able to, you shouldn't, it's like trying to pick between your kids. I mean, I personally like my Star Wars children better than my Star Trek children, but my Star Trek children, it's a new baby. It's a new baby for me. And I can't wait to learn more about it. And I feel this certain way, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me too. I hate the term guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Because I don't think you should feel guilty about anything that gives you pleasure.
Exactly.
And I don't believe in it when someone's like, it's my guilty pleasure. I'm like, nah, bitch, you like it.
What?
You like The Bachelor or Bachelorette or whatever. What's that show? I don't know.
I watch, guys, I am on a Bachelor Fantasy League.
That's such a thing? It's,
really? Once you fall, guys, you don't even understand. Men are involved in this thing. Men who used to like laugh at it. It is ridiculous. It is so much fun.
Oh my God.
That's so cool.
It's so edited and scripted. Like, I want to be an editor on this show. I'm fascinated. It's hysterical. What?
That's so cool.
And it's like teamed with ESPN. Oh, this stuff is legit now, guys.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm playing with the same login that I do fantasy basketball and football. I get to use the same login, but it's for The Bachelor. I can't help myself.
I love that.
It's like the best social experiment I've ever seen.
Documentary on that. That's fantastic. How did you find this, Jesse?
Because you don't know how deep this rabbit hole goes. Like, I have an entire like mass text with like 13 highly educated, career driven, smart, sassy women who love The Bachelor.
Smart women as well who enjoy The Bachelor. It's not my thing, but I know a lot of people who do.
Yeah, Lauren, your roommate's one of them.
Right now.
And we all found out about this because one of our guy friends who you'd think would hate this came up and was like, hey, you wanna do the Bachelor Fantasy League with me? We're like, yes, we sure fucking do. So in agreement with yes, there's no guilty pleasure.
I do really hope that in that fantasy league that someone has fallen in love and gotten married.
I hope that would be so mad.
Oh, I hope
so. Flowers.
Oh, I ordered only one rose ring for the championship ring.
Oh my God.
So I feel like it's amazing. We can't not talk about Harrison Ford, but before we get to that, I also think that we should all take a moment to talk about Carrie Fisher.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if my heart's ready.
Oh, it's such a hard thing.
If you're not ready, I understand. Rachel and I did an episode about her. It was really hard.
I bet.
Cheryl witnessed firsthand my mental breakdown throughout, like, from the day she was sick on, because it got announced in our Slack. And I just like, it was like the slow trickle down effect, and everyone kept going, all right, is Rachel gonna cover this, or should we ask Rachel? Because it was just me like having a breakdown in the corner.
I was there. It was this is an accurate statement of what was happening.
I found out at work. I was bartending, and I had obviously known that she had a heart attack, but the last thing I heard was that she was in stable condition, just like we all heard. And then the other bartender comes around the corner and was like, and he's like, a 60-year-old guy came over and was like, Carrie Fisher died.
What?
And I was bending down to pick something up, and I looked up and was like, no. And my jaw dropped, and we were in the middle of our lunch rush. And I cried behind the bar for the rest of the day. I couldn't turn it off. I was not expecting it to hit me that hard. I thought that Harrison Ford was going to be the guy that in Star Wars, that when he died, I would lose my mind. But I didn't realize what an effect she had on my life, because going through depression as a kid, I read Carrie Fisher's books, and I was like, oh, well, if Princess Leia has depression, then like this, I'm not totally weird. And I didn't even think about that. And when she died, I just,
all day. I came home and every 2 seconds I'd start crying again. And my poor boyfriend was like patting me on the back and trying to console me. And I was like, you don't have to do it. I'm just going to be crying all night. And he was so sweet. But it was, and anytime I talked about it for the next 2 days, I'd start crying again. And it was foreign to me because I didn't know her in real life. And I've never had that effect of a celebrity dying. And it really hurt me. Oh God. Ugh. Yep.
Yeah. I was at work too. And I remember finding out I had to keep taking bathroom breaks to go cry about it.
Ugh.
And I kept going back to see, I read her book like you, cause I've definitely dealt with, depression and been with and around others who are dealing with mental health, various issues, and the light and the beacon that she was of openness and frankness and unabashedly being yourself, and as well as being a geek girl. And I got to see the show of Wishful Drinking with my mom when she did it on Broadway. Oh, I just kept going back and thinking about it. I kept going back and just that, what she was for multiple generations of women. And it's been just weeks and weeks of that. And then Debbie right after that was just the worst thing. Well, I can imagine.
Rachel and I had just spoken with her at her book signing, which was almost a month to the date that she collapsed. So it was really eerie. And I was on the subway and I just completely lost it, which was also interesting in the fact that no one in New York City said anything to me. I know. I was like, oh, of course. I had that moment of like, someone's going to say something. But it was really weird because
New York City,
the night before, I was talking with someone about it and I didn't feel very good about it, but I didn't want this person to lose hope. So I was trying to cheer her up. And we started talking about, about Joan Rivers. And I remember them saying that she had been stable, and I didn't really say anything. I just went, oh, it's not the same. And I knew I was sort of lying to her, as I didn't want her, you know, and I Googled it and it was the same headlines.
Yep.
And then I kind of lost it because I was definitely sure that she would, I was like, this was the night before. I just had this really weird feeling. Then that morning I was like, no, I need to be positive. And I put like my Leia pin on and I put like a bunch of stuff together near my book. And I was like, this is weird. Why am I doing this? And it was like exactly the time when apparently it was announced, but I didn't know because I was getting on the subway. It was just it was so weird. And then right before we got out into sort of the air where I could check my phone, the guy next to me started playing Sounds of Silence.
Oh no, my heart,
oh my God, she's dead. And I thought, oh God, that's stupid, don't think that. And I said, no, I'm gonna check my phone and she's gonna be dead. And then he started playing Life Goes On by the Beatles and I began to the air, and then Police Navidad as I check my phone, and there it was. And it just, I didn't even see it, I just saw someone say something on Twitter and the way it was worded, and I completely lost it. And I was on my way to my friend's house to watch movies. And I was sort of keeping it in, you know, for once I was off the subway, and she opened the door and I burst into tears. And she was like, what? I was like, Carrie Fisher died. And she goes, yeah, no, I've known for an hour.
Did anyone have friends text them?
Yeah.
I had so many people text me.
Oh, so many.
Oh, I had condolences text messages from people, which was like so weird to me. Cause I was like, a lot of people were like, well, I know that was your hero. Like, you met her, you talked to her. And I was like, yeah, but I also, like, I didn't know her. Like, I had just met her as a fan. But it was like, it's a weird thing to think about when you get, like, text messages from people like, oh, are you okay? And, like, I remember everyone did that, like I said, for my brother when Leonard Nimoy died. And I had never really, David Bowie was one of my favorites. And so was Prince and Alan Rickman. But they weren't, like, Carrie to me. They were like people who were in things that, or like people who gave me things I really loved, but it wasn't like to the level she was. And so, I got text messages, but like, as of recently, like, I cried the day of and I was with my mom and we were going to see La La Land again. So it was like, I was like sad going to see like one of the happier movies until the ending of it. And I'm like, this is great. But like, I like kind of been like, oh, whatever, I'll get over it. And then today I had like a Discover Weekly thing on Spotify and I didn't correlate that it was this song. And there was like a Paul Simon song on it. And I was like, oh, I love Paul Simon. Like, I'll see what it is. And it said Heart and Bones. And I was like, oh, I don't think I've ever, like, I think I know that name, but I don't know why. And then it got to the line that's like one and one half wandering Jews. And I was like, oh no, I know why I know it.
I have to say I was just remembering one of my favorite things to come out of that was the fact that when I did the Women's March in NYC, I never say NYC. I sound like such a like poser right now. In New York, when I did the Women's March, that I spent about half of the trip, I took a picture of it with these two massive signs that these two women were holding of Carrie Fisher's face marching behind us. Oh. And we just turned around and all you saw was Carrie. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was one of the coolest moments. And they were huge. And then I saw Mark Hamill's post later and I lost it.
I wore my shirt that has Carrie Fisher with her buns, but has the David Bowie lightning down her face and it says Rebel Rebel underneath it.
Oh, that's my phone. That's my phone case.
Yeah, that's the shirt I wore to the Women's March too. And I was so excited about the Resistance posters, Women's Places and the Resistance. Yeah, I was like,
I wasn't expecting to see them all. And like, I put my I had a Leia for Senator pin that I put on. Like, I jokingly like took off all my, real election paraphernalia that I now still have on my bag, and I put on all my fake people running for president in like office. I don't know why. I put Leia on. I put Gracie Allen as run for president. But I wasn't expecting there to be all these signs, and it was really amazing. And I didn't realize until I got home from the march how it had been everywhere. And there were at least like three or four I saw that wasn't even Princess Leia. It said Carrie Fisher sent me.
Yeah.
Well, that's my new favorite thing to do on the internet is anytime someone like says something about Donald Trump, I'm like, she may be dead, but I'm not forgetting that she called him Jabba the Hutt, and I will let everyone know that Carrie Fisher called him Jabba the Hutt. I was like, I do not care how annoying it gets. I will remind you all called him Jabba the Hutt. Like, and I like
it was really something because it wasn't just about, yes, Princess Leia and the rebellion and the resistance, but these were all values and ideas that Carrie believed in. She was a strong feminist. She was very much against Trump, and about being freedom and saying what you think all the time and being yourself and not being afraid of names or labels, owning things. And so it was so beautiful because it was her legacy.
Yep.
Carrying on, I feel, and it's really sort of amazing to see.
Really is so great. Carrie did so much for us.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize what she did do for women as herself and as Princess Leia, but as well as herself. Yeah. I feel like sometimes gets lost.
Yeah, she was a force.
Well, that's what it was kind of made me angry when she died, and all the guys were like, well, how come no one had this reaction when, like, Kenny Baker died? And it was like, it's not, like, that was the moment where I was like, wow, guys see this as a base level thing, and they don't realize the connection that girls really have to Star Wars and the actors and the characters. Because it was like, well, she's not the only person that died from Star Wars this year. It's like, well, yeah, Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2, died, and that was sad as well, but also, like, Kenny Baker didn't go around advocating for women's issues and mental health. And like, we know Kenny Baker as R2-D2. And it was like, they saw it as, well, she's just Princess Leia. Why aren't you reacting the same way? And I like that just made
me. And that was the thing, that it wasn't that there was a Star Wars death.
Yeah.
It was Carrie Fisher. Yeah.
She was so funny and so witty. And I talked about this on when we did our special for her, is that I feel like she was like a Mark Twain or a Dorothy Parker. Like, the things that she said were so insightful and so funny at the same time.
Yeah, the self-deprecation across the board. It's her quote about, if I'm about to misquote it, but if my life wasn't funny, then it would be true, yeah, and that's exactly. just unacceptable.
This is my favorite quote, yeah.
That willingness to laugh at herself, it's my favorite quote of hers. And, like, that was it. It wasn't just that she was on a soapbox being holier than thou. She was standing next to the soapbox talking with the people who were just like right? her.
But that's the thing. She was never that way. Like, she was in Star Wars, and you would think that, like, she would be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm a big star. I'm in Star Wars. Everyone knows who I am. But, like, Lorne and I right. witnessed firsthand. They were trying to rush her and get her to, like, sign people's books and get out the way. And she was sitting there, like, taking 10 minutes with, like, every single person that walked in front of her and was, like, listening to them.
Of course.
And, like, it was insane to watch her, like, not, like, she was one of the first celebrities I ever met that didn't instantly just go, okay, bye, like, and, like, rush them through. Like, she personalized everyone's books. She, like, made sure everyone had a special moment with her. And it wasn't one of those where, like, this is something you've always waited for. It was like I want to connect to you. And it, like, ugh, I loved her.
Oh, I wish I could have met her in real life. That was a thing. That honestly hurt me the most when I was thinking about it. I was like, there's not a chance at all now.
I remember turning to my boyfriend and looking at him. And I'm sure it was just this pathetic little voice that came out of me just saying, like, I truly somewhere in my heart thought I would get to meet her. Like, my heart thought that was going to happen.
You know, I mean, she had this.
After the whole thing, like, literally me and Lauren seeing her for, like, in 2 months, seeing her 4 times.
And I saw her 5 times.
I was like, this is insane.
And as it was happening, I thought it was insane. Like, I'm going, oh, another opportunity to be around Gary Fisher. Okay. Oh, another one. All right.
So
it was
cool.
Insane. And I mean, I had met her once before, like in 2003 or something, like for the book signing for The Best Awful, where she spoke Yoda to me and I didn't get it. I've told the story a million times on the show. But pretty much was I just hadn't actually seen the movies in a very long time. And honestly, when I watch Empire Strikes Back, I really could care less at the time, not now, about Luke and Yoda. I was all about Han and Leia. I just memorized all those scenes. But again, it had been a while since I had actually seen them, even though I'd seen them a million times as a kid. And I told her that she made me want to be a writer. And she quoted Yoda to me. And I walked away awesome. Very confused. So, you know, it was a really, really wonderful, wonderful moment.
It's okay, guys. I was told I was beautiful by her, and that's all I have.
She did say that. I was there.
So from now on, anytime someone calls me ugly on the internet, I can just remind them.
If anyone on the panel hasn't seen the documentary on her and Debbie, it's really, really beautiful. Oh, Rachel and I got to see it in October, and at the end of it, we were worried about what was going to happen to Carrie when Debbie passed away. Eventually, obviously, that did not happen. And I was not surprised when Debbie died the next... I didn't think it would be the next day, but I still was like, I'm worried for Debbie now. But after October, we were like, oh, God, what's going to happen to... Because their bond was so beautiful and so amazing.
On a lighter note, I just realized my Poe Dameron action figure looks like he's trying to shoot Leia. And then Chewie's just shooting Sirius Black. I don't know why this is happening.
Yeah.
This is happening there. I have to turn them. I have, like, as we were talking, I was, like, looking at my windowsill, and I have all those Funko Pops, and they're all dorky as shit. And then it leads into, like, these, like, Disney action figures of Chewie, Rey, Han, Leia, and Poe with, like, a stuffed Han behind them, all my Doctor Who shit, Woody from Toy Story, and then the Marauders map, then it goes over to my blaster, my picture of Carrie Fisher, a Joy doll. I'm like, this is why I'm single. There's a whole windowsill. Yeah, I think my Jin and my Cassian are like, their heads are touching. I don't know.
Oh, don't
why.
Worry.
I put them so close together that their heads are
touching.
My
figure of Jane, my like Firefly collection, my figure of Jane looks like he's checking out number 6 from my Cylon series. Like, he's straight up, like, holding his gun and staring at 6 in her red dress.
I have the Funko Pops of Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask, because that's my life. And they're just standing, their boxes are touching, because I don't take them out of the box because I'm like that, but their boxes are touching. They need to touch. It's a law.
Yeah, my river song is still in the box. But that was a gift. It's the only one I have. But I have Han and Leia Hoth Lego pieces. And they're in between a tiny TARDIS. And they used to be together, like next to each other in front of Carrie Fisher's books. But for some reason, I moved them now, and like Han is on like a higher level above the TARDIS, and Leia is actually a keychain, and so she's hanging from Carrie Fisher's books in between. I don't know why. So they looked really weird right now, but that's where my stuff is.
I'm just waiting. Well, okay. Fun story time. So I bought young Leia, like my Funko Pops, I have old Han, old Leia, young Han, young Leia, 11, like Matt Smith, not from Stranger Things, Sirius Black, Jin and Cassian, and then I have another Cassian on the way.
Yes, you do.
I have Rey, and then I have Joy from Inside Out at Work. And I'm looking at all of these, and my mom is coming to my apartment to clean next weekend because she likes doing that. And I'm like, she's going to murder me. That was my story.
I have toys, too.
For having all the pops or for having them be disorganized?
Oh, no, just for having so many.
It's hard to have toys in my apartment.
Adults need to have as many Funkos as they want.
I don't know how you guys have so much stuff in your New York apartments. I have a lot of Star Wars Legos. I have a lot of gaming systems and a lot of video games, but I don't have a lot of room for my toys. So I have several Star Wars action figures and Fifth Element action figures and lots of books and comic books. But I have nowhere to put toys. It sucks. They're all in boxes at my mom's.
I have a small collection and I am running out of room, but the bookcases help. Because you can put them on the edge of the bookcases in front of the books.
Yes.
My boyfriend and I put up shelves, so we have them. We have no floor space whatsoever for bookshelves, so we have bookshelf that goes across the top of our living room. So it's all up high, and then the shelves coming down, and that's where we keep all our toys, too. And we had to figure out how to organize the shelves because we have to be able to get to the books we want. And then make sure the books that we don't really want to get to were on a different part. So there was like, we wrote out like lists of what we needed to do. And it was a thing.
I really didn't start collecting the toys again until I moved to New York. I had had a bunch of them before and then they didn't make it to college with me. And so when I moved, I actually 8 years on the second I'll be here. And I started gathering them up then. Specifically from conventions, and so I think I've somehow figured out how to fill the clutter as I've grown in New York, as opposed to fitting it into a New York shape apartment. I have some wine crates filled with toys and stuff that I also made as a running track for my cats so they don't jump on my head from the bookcases.
Oh, that's awesome.
You gotta send us a picture of that. So I feel like obviously this has gone past what we thought. I don't know what anyone's time machines are, or Jesse, how you're feeling, because Jesse is sick.
That Theraflu is kicking.
I have to play some Dungeons and Dragons. Actually,
yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk about Harrison Ford very quickly, or what it's like to be a woman in geek culture. Although I think we sort of touched on that a little bit, but maybe briefly we can just sort of talk about our thoughts on Harrison Ford. I know that's hard to do in a brief way.
Swoon lots.
Swoon?
Very swoon.
TLDR swoon?
Oh, very swoon.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. One word that describes Harrison Ford to you. Or you can have two if you're really feeling it.
Much swoon, such scoundrel.
That works.
Swooned me for all men. That's not really two words, though, but.
No, that was good.
Mine was going to be sexual awakening, but okay.
It's okay, Rachel. I was just going to say my type, but, like.
Also true.
Like.
I have a weird sort of relationship with Harrison Ford where my dad looks like Harrison Ford.
No.
It's the weirdest thing. He's not an identical copy. Like, he does not look exactly like him, but he has the, like, the lip raise thing, and he's got that kind of, like, rugged man look, but...
Yeah, I'm really into your dad right now.
Chris, I'm about to stalk you
right?
on Facebook.
I mean, he's, like I said, he's not exactly 100% Harrison Ford, but you'll see what I mean. And it's always been very confusing for me because Harrison Ford is amazing, wonderful, very spoon man. But every time I look at him, I'm like, you're still kind of look like my dad though. And it's a little creepy, but I'm like, I'm okay with it now. Which is good, but I love him. I love all of his movies. I just watched Air Force One again. It's one of my favorites.
Air Force One.
Get off my plane. I was like, no, I'm going to be on your plane.
Anything you say, Harrison.
That movie stands up. I have to say, Air Force One. Like you, Air Force One almost feels like every other movie after it has been trying to copy that movie and just a poor version of it.
Also, guys, it has our other husband, Gary Oldman, which...
Yes! Oh. As I said, Sirius Black is on my window seat.
Glenn Close. Glenn Close.
If anybody needs another, like, an older man, like, turn on, I will send you the video that I found of... I was Gary Oldman, Adrian Brody, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting? Willem Dafoe, and... I'm a horrible person right now. Tim Roth on a Prada runway.
No.
Yes.
And it
Tim
is.
Tim Roth on a runway. What a joy.
It's all of the women on my Facebook just went, woof.
W hat.
I mean, I love old dudes. That's no surprise. I'm just looking around my room. I got Bob Dylan. Chris Pine's not old, but he's older.
Yeah, I guess I was always into older men as well. To the point of which I don't think I got it because my grandmother randomly, I think my high school graduation party, maybe she was losing it, I don't know, but she just said, Lauren is going to marry an older man.
Oh.
And like out of nowhere. And I was like, where did that come from? I don't know where that came from. But she predicted it apparently. Still waiting. But I think that her prediction is pretty solid.
Oh, that was a really awkward silence, guys.
Everyone was getting ready for someone else to say something.
So we should definitely do this again. Yeah. Now that we figured out how it works.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Indeed
it was. Before we go, then why doesn't everyone just go around one more time, say your name, say your social media handle, so if anyone wants to follow you.
So I am Crystal Beth, and you can follow me on Twitter at @TheCrystalBeth. I also have my Fifth Element podcast. You can go to thefifthelementit.com to listen to those episodes. And Unlimited Lives Radio is my video game podcast on iTunes. And you can listen to that there as well.
And I am Jessie Mullins. That's spelled JESIMULLINS. I am at Jessie Mullins on Twitter. And you can follow my online sitcom, Just Super, on Twitter at Just Super Series. And, you know, just... I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you so much.
Deeply and truly.
Deeply and truly.
Yeah. I'm Cheryl Wassenaar. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at Hey Gorgeous, but it's not spelled Hey like hi. It's HAE, and then gorgeous is normal. It's a pun, and I'm terrible.
I'm Rachel Leishman. You can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Leishman. Real exciting. also, read all my stuff on Culturist, Wizards, and whatnot, and... Doctor Who Watch.
I'm Lauren Milberger, and I'm only on Twitter at the moment at Lauren Milberger. You can find the Fordcast. Rachel and I talk about Harrison Ford movies and sometimes Carrie Fisher and other stuff. at the Fordcast PC. We are the Fordcast Podcast and everything else. And our website is thefordcastpodcast.com. And thank you, ladies, so much. This is so much fun once we figured out the mechanics and got it to work.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It was awesome.
Of course, we'll have you guys back on, but I have to run because I'm going to a show.